He shudders for a moment and thinks he might actually cry at the idea that he hadn't been good enough, that he must have done it wrong, that Tony didn't come, that Steve didn't make him come.
"Don't," Tony says abruptly, voice a little louder, but still even, still gentle. "Stay with me, Captain. We're not done yet."
"You?"
Steve grates out, a little appalled and a little turned on at how wrecked his voice sounds.
"You didn't. What did I do? I'm sorry, Tony. What?"
The hand in the middle of Steve's back rubs in small, soothing circles.
"You didn't do anything. You were perfect. You did exactly what I told you to do. I didn't come because you want to learn to suck my cock, and there wouldn't be much in it for you if I was already spent, Captain."
Behind him, Tony eases backwards and out of him. Steve feels immediately bereft. Tony presses his hand firmly between Steve's shoulder blades.
"Do you want to sit up?" Tony asks.
"Yes," Steve says, though he isn't at all sure that he wants to sit up.
"Sir," he adds exhaustedly.
Tony slides a hand under his chest and helps him upright. Steve tries to keep his face turned away, but Tony is having none of it. He catches Steve's chin and looks at him.
"You look fucking amazing," he says. "You choked until you cried, didn't you?"
Steve nods dumbly, feeling uncertain.
"I could look at you like this all day," Tony says, and there's just no way to doubt him. His tone is just too intense. "I could jerk off just looking at you right now and be happy. I'm going to make you cry every chance I get. It's too fucking beautiful. All that strength, crying under my hands."
Steve's mouth falls open a little, but the fire that Tony seems to have control of in the pit of his belly is stirring again, and he would never have thought that it was something beautiful. But he should have known better. He's an artist. Tony's hand is still on his chest. He gives Steve a long look and says,
"I'm going to go get something to clean us up."
He catches Steve's gaze carefully, and Steve can see some of that care from last time, the aftercare part, where Tony had tipped their foreheads together and stroked Steve's hair until he'd settled.
"Are you okay here for 2 minutes?
"Yes, sir," he says, and is glad to be able to mean it.
Tony is gone for less than a minute. He comes back with a warm, wet cloth and wipes Steve's face first, and then cleans up his cock, belly, and thighs.
"I can't believe what a mess you make," Tony murmurs, but he doesn't actually sound bothered, more amused than anything.
Tony smells faintly of soap. Steve suspects he knows why. Even he isn't completely ignorant, and doesn't unhook the cuffs. Steve isn't sure if that's an oversight or deliberate. He isn't sure what he wants it to be. His eyes are still feeling raw from crying, the back of his throat raw from choking, his ass raw from being fucked, his mind raw with want. More want than he thinks he should have, after everything. In spite of all of that, Steve feels almost completely relaxed. His body is a low hum, warmly pliant regardless of the places that still ache a little. He feels like he could roll over and sleep right now, curled up on the floor of Tony's office, his hands still bound behind his back. Tony has tossed the washcloth away and is just looking at Steve now, his cock still hard, but he doesn't seem to be in a hurry.
"How do you feel?" he asks, after time is spooled comfortably away for a while.
"Good," Steve says, and is surprised at how he sounds. His voice is hoarse, but also slightly indistinct, like he's just awakened,
or as though he could get drunk.
Tony smiles a little, corners of his eyes crinkling, but mostly endearing because it doesn't happen that often.
Smiles that reach his eyes are rare for Tony, Steve understands.
You look like it. They call it subspace, Tony tells him.
Oh, Steve says, not really understanding, but too easy in his mind to worry about it.
Then he remembers and adds, Sir?
Yeah, Tony says, about that. Are you attached to it?
Steve blinks, and Tony adds, Does saying it make you cringe and shudder?
Something about his voice makes Steve shudder a little, but he just shakes his head.
It's fine, I don't mind.
But you don't really need it either, Tony says, right?
Steve nods.
Good, then we'll let that go. I was mostly working out whether or not you had a strong military kink. If you don't, then I'm just happy with Tony.
Steve thinks that his answering smile is probably a little foolish, but he can't help it. He doesn't mind calling Tony sir, but he likes just calling him Tony better.
Are you tired? Tony asks, eyes measuring on Steve.
Not exactly, Steve says, and then isn't sure how to explain.
Tony doesn't look like he needs an explanation, though.
Just nice and loose?
Like, the world is in slow motion, Steve says inadequately, but Tony looks pleased.
Good. It's supposed to feel like that. Come here.
Steve knee-walks to Tony, who is leaning with his ass on the edge of his desk. He looks fairly relaxed, too.
He smells even more strongly of soap.
Steve leans into the scent without any real conscious decision to do so, and ends up with his cheek pressed against Tony's hip, his face turned towards Tony's cock, which also smells of musk and sweat this close.
Tony doesn't make any move at all to stop him, though he brushes his fingers through Steve's hair.
Steve merely leans there for a few seconds, and then tips his face forward enough to be able to feel the smooth, silky skin of Tony's cock against his lips. He hears himself exhale harshly, but it doesn't seem important.
Tony says, You can touch me however you want.
With my mouth? Steve asks, though it's probably pointless to ask, since his lips are brushing up against Tony's cock with every word.
Your hands are still cuffed behind your back, Steve, Tony says, amused and gentle.
Steve only barely registers the tone. His brain hangs up on Tony using his first name. He wants to ask why he doesn't, usually, and also why he does when he does. He's distracted when Tony reaches down and grips his own cock at the base, tipping it away from his body a little further.
Knock yourself out, Tony murmurs.
Steve glances up at his face, sees that Tony's eyes are still dark with want, but that he looks almost equally curious, and then looks back down at Tony's cock. The only time this had happened to Steve, his neck had immediately gone limp, and he hadn't seen any of it. He isn't sure where to start, so he goes for the tip, which is a little slick with pre-cum. He swipes it away with the flat of his tongue. It seems like it shouldn't taste so familiar, since he's only tasted it once before, and it had only been a damp smear. His mouth waters, though, so he must like the taste. Or, not necessarily, though. His mouth has watered at the idea of sucking Tony's cock before. He thinks that's probably what it is. The way his cock stirs makes him think he's right. Steve is so overwhelmed by it that he has to stop for a moment, just let it sink in. He doesn't realize he's rubbing his cheek up against Tony's erection. The skin of his cock is sleek and hot, an unbearable comfort somehow. Until Tony murmurs,
Shh, you're okay. Just...
He grasps Steve's shoulders and presses until Steve's back is straight and he's only seeing Tony's cock instead of touching it. He wants to lean in. He can feel his body shifting to do it. Anything to be closer. But Tony grasps the base of his cock. Tony's hand wrapping around his own cock should not be so erotic. And tips it down. Open, Tony bites out. And Steve doesn't even have to think. His mouth drops open. And Tony is sliding his cock inside. Just the hot, firm expanse of the head. But Steve chokes out a little groan of want.
Your mouth is wet, Tony says, like it's just a statement.
But his voice is low and a little rough. He draws back slightly and then presses in, his cock sliding against Steve's tongue.
Dying for it, aren't you?
He strokes a hand through the back of Steve's hair, and Steve shudders. Just do what I say, Tony murmurs, and Steve trembles, anticipation and nerves and fear. He looks up at Tony through his lashes, and Tony is watching him already. He's flushed, faintly, because Tony's skin doesn't show a blush the way Steve's does, all the way down to the arc reactor.
Now that's pretty, he says, sliding a fingertip along Steve's lower lip.
Close your mouth and suck.
Steve goes hot and does as he's told, holding just the head of Tony's cock in his mouth and sucking around the weight and width of it.
Tony exhales sharply and rocks his hips gently.
Just keep doing that, he directs, and Steve does. Careful as Tony presses more and more of his length into Steve's mouth.
Use your tongue, Tony bites out. Around the head. Watch your teeth, Captain.
Steve circles his tongue cautiously around the head of Tony's cock, and heat flares in his belly at the way it jumps in his mouth. He breathes out hard through his nose and tries to lean in, but Tony holds him back. Steve would object, but he's in no position to do so. Or maybe he wouldn't. Tony is rocking carefully into his mouth, only a few inches, but being made so emphatically still makes it all... It roils in Steve's gut. That Tony is. He's fucking Steve, as surely as he had been with Steve bent over his desk or the couch. He's using Steve's mouth like that. And sweat prickles across Steve's whole body at how he is helpless to do anything but take what Tony gives him. Even though he isn't. Except that he is.
This is what you want, Tony says, low and certain.
I'll teach you to really suck cock, to make it nice and wet and slow for me, and you'll like that too. But this is what you really want, isn't it? Your hot mouth, just a wet, sweet place for me to fuck my cock into.
His fingers tighten in Steve's hair. Steve lets out a low, humiliated sound, but he feels hot all over, his mind a haze of recognition and desire.
How hard do you want it?
Tony doesn't pause for the answer Steve couldn't give anyway.
I'm betting hard. I'm betting you're just as willing to choke on my cock as you were on the gag.
He presses in deeper. Steve struggles to use his tongue and be careful with his teeth. But those things are far away. He's far more aware of how wide Tony's cock is, the way that he can taste pre-cum every moment, the way that Tony's hand in his hair hurts and feels amazing at the same time.
Lucky for you, this is going to be short and sweet, Tony says.
He cups his hand around the bottom of Steve's jaw.
Loosen this up. Just open right up for me, Captain.
Steve doesn't know what Tony specifically means, but he relaxes his jaw as much as he can, and Tony slips another couple of inches inside at once. He lets out a soft whoosh of air,
and Steve answers it with a small, wanting moan.
Good. That's good. Tony breathes heavily. Just like that. And I'm going to take your mouth. You're going to let me have my fucking way with you. Are you ready?
Steve can't, of course, answer. But he moans and swipes his tongue along the shaft of Tony's cock. And then Tony is pressing in a little more roughly and a lot more deeply. And when the head of his cock hits the back of Steve's throat, Steve's balls tighten fiercely, and he groans out a noise that makes Tony's hips stutter. He pulls back slightly, the weight of his cock heavy on Steve's tongue, and just says,
God, you're going to be good at this, Captain. In a week, I'll be fucking all the way into your throat. You're going to fucking love it.
Then he's fucking Steve's mouth with short, harsh thrusts, bruising Steve's lips and bumping against the back of his throat at every third or fourth thrust. Every time it happens, Steve jolts, physically enthralled. In his head, things just go bright for an instant, and Steve is desperate for it every time it happens. He moans while Tony fucks his mouth, but when he pushes hard against the back of Steve's throat, he merely goes taut and trembling.
Just a little longer, Tony says.
His voice is a rack. It goes straight to Steve's cock.
Just going to give you,
Tony says, and pulls back, and then he thrusts back in just once, but hard and deep, so that Steve is not only choking on the head of his cock, but is trying in vain to swallow around it, as though it might clear his airway. His brain, a white-hot pulse while Tony chants,
Yes, yeah, swallow, good. I'm going to come, and you're going to swallow, Captain. I'm going to make you feel my cum, and you're going to take it all.
And when he pulls back slightly, Steve barely gets his breath before his mouth is flooded with cum, salty and bitter, and so good, Steve feels it like a fire under his skin. Steve tightens his mouth on Tony's cock reflexively, fixed on the instruction to swallow. He doesn't want it to drip out, and Tony is shuddering, and Steve swallows it down, feeling proud, like it's an accomplishment since it's only his first time. Both of Tony's hands in Steve's hair now, making tiny abortive thrusts into his mouth.
Perfect, just like that. You're so good for me,
Tony pants heatedly. Steve shudders, flexing his hands behind his back, and when Tony pulls out finally, Steve can only breathe harshly, gulping in air. Tony pulls him forward so Steve's forehead is pressed to his belly, and Steve's whole body flares with something good, satisfaction and warmth, and the need still pulsing in his groin. So that he goes almost limp against Tony, wanting to hear it again, that he's good, that he's perfect. Steve isn't sure how long it lasts. Time seems beyond his grasp. At some point, Tony presses him back so he's sitting on his heels and reaches out to remove the cuffs. Once his hands are free, Steve doesn't know what to do with them, so lets them just sit at his sides, while Tony tosses the cuffs carelessly out of the way without looking. His eyes are busy with Steve.
Christ, your refractory period, Tony says.
It comes out amused and aroused at once. He reaches out a hand and strokes Steve's cock once. Then he raises it to his mouth and licks away pre-cum. And Steve understands completely why Tony had closed his eyes when Steve had done it himself. It feels like he can feel his pulse pounding in his cock, watching Tony's pink tongue wipe away traces of Steve's pre-cum from his hand.
You want to come? Tony asks him.
Steve opens his mouth to say, of course he wants to come. Is Tony blind? And then closes it again. Tony has asked him lots of things. Has told him to do other things, has changed how they do things sometimes,
If Tony is asking the question, there's probably a reason for it. So, instead, he says, "Is there a reason why I wouldn't want to come?"
"There are a few," Tony says. "Some people like orgasm denial. Some people like being directed as to when they're allowed to come. Some people find it easier to stay in subspace if they don't have to worry about getting off at the end."
Steve doesn't know how he feels about any of those things. His body is primed for orgasm, but he still feels content. He's loose and easy. He can still taste Tony's cum on his tongue. His mind is still a pleasant haze of satisfaction and accomplishment. And, he realizes, he doesn't think that will necessarily be better if he does come. He isn't sure it would be worse, either, but he's curious.
"I don't know," he says finally.
Tony arches both brows, looking both amused and intrigued.
"Want to find out?"
Steve can't keep back his smile.
"You tell me," he says, and can hear himself how genuinely he means it.
Tony's smile becomes wicked.
"I think I will."
7. Dinner is a luxurious disaster. Tony takes him to a place Steve has never heard of, small and opulent. The food is good, and the bourbon is better, but Steve doesn't enjoy either of them as much as he enjoys watching Tony. When he orders, when he eats, the way the glass of red wine he's holding filters light to make his hand briefly ruby red. When he talks with his hands, when he smiles his sharp public smile. Steve's cock is still hard. Tony had given it half an hour to settle, but then had sabotaged it by pulling Steve with him into the shower and washing him from toe to crown while Steve gasped at being handled and leaned into Tony with alarming frequency. Half an hour into dinner, Steve is fairly sure it isn't going to abate, and he can't bring himself to care. He eats what's put in front of him. He's ravenous. Metabolism, sexual antics, metabolism. And he drinks when he's thirsty, but he's still distant in his mind, some deep and soothing place that he's loath to attempt to leave. Tony talks, and Steve tries to keep up, but mostly he murmurs agreement or amusement. He can't seem to call up anything conversationally, though he knows there are things he wants to talk to Tony about, both professionally and personally. He just can't now. The back of his throat still feels a little raw. His jaw and his ass both ache distantly. His cock rubs against the fabric of the well-fitted suit he's wearing, and his cheeks heat every time it's firm enough to cause a ripple of pleasure. They don't order dessert. Tony manages to get them out of the restaurant without Steve having to talk to anyone, though several people seem to want to talk to Tony. And once they're in the back of Tony's car, Tony laughs until moisture gathers at the corner of his eyes.
"We can never take you out in public like this again," he tells Steve earnestly. "It's like you're stoned out of your mind."
"Is that what it's like?" Steve wonders, but Tony doesn't answer.
He gives directions to the driver to Steve's apartment instead. A very small part of Steve wants to object. That part imagines the pleasure of falling asleep next to Tony and waking to find out if Tony is mussed and heat-flushed with pillow creases pressed onto one cheek, or if he's as elegant as he seems to remain even during sex. Instead of saying that, Steve says, "My uniform. I'll have it cleaned and delivered. The briefcase I'll deliver to Fury myself. I'm meeting with him tomorrow anyway." It's precise, almost disinterested, but Tony's face is nothing like that. He's watching Steve with eyebrows dark, lips slightly parted. He leans forward abruptly, as though to speak, but doesn't actually say anything for several long seconds. He's almost close enough for Steve to feel his breath, a little fast. Then, "I can't get away tomorrow. There's too much going on.
I moved half my schedule today there when I invited you. How do you feel about seeing me outside of business hours?
I don't have business hours, Steve says. It's my job to be available when you have time for me.
Tony's breath hitches a little, and Steve's cock twitches. Tony just says,
Saturday evening, then. Eat first. I never have food. Then come to the tower. You'll have to use the private elevator to get to the penthouse. I'll have Jarvis key it to respond to your voice.
Okay, Tony, Steve agrees, and watches curiously as Tony stays where he is, perched on the edge of his seat, leaning across so he's infringing slightly on Steve's space. The urge to lean into him is strong. As though Tony knows it, he presses a hand to Steve's knee.
Until then, don't jerk off. I want to know how long this lasts.
He gives Steve a serious look.
If things start going wrong in your head, I want you to call me.
Steve doesn't know what that means, exactly, but he thinks Tony would be more explicit if he thought it might be something Steve wouldn't recognize. He says,
Okay, Tony.
And Tony lets out a little groan.
You're an impossible temptation right now, he says,
now with a little frustration in his voice.
Normally I wouldn't resist, but it would be bad for both of us if I took you back to the tower. I'm almost positive I wouldn't let you leave.
Heat stirs in Steve's belly, but he doesn't argue. Tony isn't wrong. It wouldn't look good.
Okay, Tony, Steve says.
Tony's hand tightens on his knees.
Stop saying that. Jerking you off in the back of this car would be almost as bad.
Steve looks at him, and Tony sighs and rolls one shoulder in a shrug.
Maybe not, but I still want to know how long this lasts for you. So do this for me.
I will, Steve says easily. Then, without quite meaning to, he says,
I like it. It's good.
It's supposed to be, Tony says, but now it sounds pained.
I wish I could stay. Next time, no dinner. We just hang out wherever we happen to be until you're polysyllabic again.
He gives Steve an odd look, sort of absently fond.
I didn't know it would take you so hard.
I'm okay. I'm just... Steve trails off because he has no idea how to describe what he is. He's just good. He's just very, very good.
I know what you are, Tony says quietly. Just remember what I said. If it starts to go south, you call me, no matter when.
Okay, Tony, Steve says, and Tony sighs and closes his eyes. He shifts back to his own seat deliberately, leaving Steve's side of the car feeling deserted.
Thank you for dinner, Steve says.
Tony laughs.
Really? That's what you want to thank me for?
No, Steve says, and Tony nods.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Steve's skin prickles warmly at Tony's sharp little smile. It's only another couple of minutes before they get to Steve's apartment. Tony opens the door for Steve to duck out, and then, to Steve's mild surprise, follows him out. Steve looks a question at him.
What did I tell you to do? Tony asks.
Call you if it gets bad, Steve says.
And before that?
Steve blinks, cheeks heating a little, which Tony regards with something that looks like satisfaction.
I want to hear you say it.
I'm not allowed to jerk off until I see you, Steve says. His cheeks are still warm, but the heat of the idea of needing Tony's permission to touch himself is just as present in his brain and in the pit of his belly.
Good, Tony says heatedly.
Go on. I want to make sure you get inside okay. Good night, Captain.
Good night, Steve says reluctantly, but he turns and goes into the building, climbs the stairs, and locks the door. He turns on the light in the living room. From his window, he can see Tony looking up at him for a long moment, and then Tony climbs into the big car, and it crawls away. Steve feels very slightly abandoned. He guesses that isn't that strange, but otherwise, he still feels good. He'd be better if Tony were here, but he's okay. He changes out of the suit, hanging it carefully, and into a t-shirt and paint-smeared jeans. He doesn't know if he'll paint tonight, but he feels good, feels open to it. So he sits cross-legged in front of his easel for a while, aware of the throb of arousal between his thighs, but not precisely worried about it. Eventually, he fumbles through the paint and comes away with every shade of blue he has, plus white, knows what he's going to paint, understands that he's compromised, certainly now if he hadn't been already, and doesn't care. The end.